We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning, Sheffield Community Church. Welcome you this morning. Thank you for joining us. We've been on for the last 6 weeks on this series, God's Most Wanted List. And today we bring it to a close. It's been a pleasure talking you through the story of God pursuing people on His most wanted list. And I hope you have been blessed joining us these last 6 or so weeks. If this is your first time today, we also want to welcome you. We're getting a lot of feedback from different ones saying, when is the church meeting once again in our building? And we just want to say to you, look forward to that day. We miss that time when we can come together, but it's not clear yet as to when. So in the meantime, we will continue with our online service. And today I'm talking to you on part 6 of God's Most Wanted List. And the topic is the rejected. The rejected. Can I start by saying that God will always go out of His way for you? It doesn't matter who you are, but God will always go out of His way for you. Today we read a story, a very interesting story, where Jesus, as a man in His humanity, was tired and decided to rest by a place called Jacob's Well. And this well had been there for about 4,000 years since Jacob died. That time Jesus was tired, and the time He stopped at that well was, the Bible says, it was the sixth hour, which is noon, our time. The stage was now set for Jesus to reveal the next target on His most wanted list. So while Jesus is sitting there alone, there comes a woman with a jar to fetch some water in the heat of the day from the city of Samaria. She's surprised to see a Jewish man, and not only a Jewish man, but a rabbi sitting there alone. Although it was a known fact that the route from Galilee to Jerusalem, if you were to take the shortest route, you had to pass through Samaria. So most Jews, however, would choose to go across the River Jordan and go miles and miles away from Samaria, so that they avoid passing through the city of Samaria. And so the reason they did that is because there was so much animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Jews despised Samaritans because of the history, their past, and most importantly, because of their religion, which they viewed as a cocktail of religious beliefs and rituals which were foreign to the children of Israel. Therefore, they disregarded them and did not regard them as important people. They did not have to want anything to do with them whatsoever. The Samaritans, as far as the Jews were concerned, were a rejected people. But the Bible says this about Jesus. In John chapter 4, from verse 4 to 5, and He had to pass through Samaria. So He came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. So the text tells us that Jesus had to pass through Samaria. Jesus, being a Jew, it was a strange thing for Him to actually decide to pass through Samaria, because that was unusual. So the question for us today then is, why would Jesus go out of His way? Why would Jesus not follow the norm and go across River Jordan? And this is what we want to look at as we look at God's most wanted list, the rejected. The first thing we learn from this is that it doesn't matter who you are, Jesus values you. It doesn't matter who you are, Jesus values you. In verse 7 of John chapter 4, the Bible reads, a woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Who was this woman from Samaria who just walked in as Jesus was sitting on the well? First, we know that she was from a despised people. She was a Samaritan. We also know that she needed water. That's why she came with a jar in order to fetch water. But also we noticed that perhaps she did not like to face people who live there. So she waited until the sun was right up, and that was her timing to go and get some water. So when she got to the well, she was a little disappointed that there was someone sitting by the well. However, as she recognized, she took a closer look, she recognized that this man, the way he's dressed, is not from this village. So he was a Jew, just by the way he looked. So she was relieved because in her mind, Jews don't talk to Samaritans. But then the unexpected happens. The stranger, who was a Jew, actually engages her in a conversation. She asks for a drink. She was surprised because most Jews do not speak to Samaritans. As for a rabbi, they didn't even have to look at a Samaritan at all, because it was one of the most despised things to do for a rabbi of the day. As far as Jews were concerned, Samaritans were rejected people and God had nothing to do with them. They were not part of God's plan. Jesus went where others did not go and did what others did not do, all because he valued the rejected people of Samaria. He will do the same for you this morning, where people have underwritten you, where people have written you off, where people have put you aside. Jesus still values you, and he's going to come your way. The very fact that Jesus spoke to a Samaritan woman when it was considered a taboo underscores the fact that he valued right action over the social norm of the day. And Jesus is still the same today. He will value his relationship with you above what everybody else is doing. So God had an agenda in Samaria. He had a big agenda with a specific person. And that specific person was a rejected woman who happened to be on his most wanted list. By the time Jesus comes to this woman and offers her living water, life had been hard on her. The Bible says in verse 10 of chapter 4, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." All this woman ever wanted in her life was to be loved and to feel valued. She had hoped for a good life, yet she could not find it. So she did the best she could with what she had. I think that's true for every one of us today. We look for acceptance and love in different ways. But Jesus didn't ignore her. In fact, Jesus talked to her. And he did more than just talk to her. He spoke to her as though he had known her all her life. There is no place in the world where you can hide from God. There is no place in the world where it's too far or too difficult for Jesus to find you. He will go to the ends of the earth for you. God will always go out of his way for you. You can be an outcast and a rejected person. You can be a king like David or Solomon. You can be an ordinary person or a celebrity. You can be a worker, a simple worker or a professor. You can be a mother, a father, a sister or a son. No matter who you are, God will go out of his way for you. When John recorded this story, you will notice that he does not tell us the name of this Samaritan woman. Perhaps the reason he doesn't tell us is so that you can find yourself in this story. You can find yourself identify with this woman who had no name. With or without a name, you are in this story. With or without a title, Jesus still values you. With or without a status, Jesus is still coming for you. Just like this Samaritan woman, you matter to God. You have value in God. And that woman found out that day that it doesn't matter who she is, you matter to Jesus Christ. The second thing, as we follow the story, is that it doesn't matter what you have done, Jesus values you. In verse 16 of chapter 4 in the Gospel of John, the Bible says, Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I've no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I've no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Now, as the conversation progresses, we learn more about the life of this Samaritan woman. It now makes sense that she's coming at noon to fetch water. She's been married 5 times, so we learn. And Jesus was right that the 6th man she was living with right now was not even her husband. This is why the women of the village shunned her. This was because of her lifestyle. There was something about her lifestyle that ticked people off. The society she lived in was ashamed of her. She was judged and hated by every woman in the village. She felt extremely unloved and became very lonely. Thus, she was an outcast. She was a rejected person, a persona non grata of the day. She looked for love and acceptance in all the wrong places until she landed in the hands of the 6th man she now was with. The picture we envision of this woman is of a person with a painful past, filled with disappointment, hopelessness, and sadness, causing a life full of low self-esteem. So Jesus, when he brought up the issue of the husband, it was because her sinful life had to be confronted. You know, Jesus does not sweep things under the carpet when he wants to come for you. Jesus wanted to help this woman. The woman tried to avoid it by changing the subject. Many of us, like this woman, would have wanted the conversation to end at "give me this living water." But that's not how it works. We cannot come to Jesus and expect to set the agenda. When we come to Jesus, he sets the agenda, and he sets it in such a way that you cannot remain the same person after an encounter with the living God. So Jesus brings up the issue of husbands because he wants to deal with the sinful nature. You know, saints, sin is the only thing that stood between her and the living water that Jesus was offering her. Your lifestyle could be the issue today. Your lifestyle could be the only thing that stands between you and your relationship with God. But Jesus, I've come to assure you today that Jesus is in the business of transforming people, because the Father's goal is to make us into the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus showed her that he cared about her more than about her choices. Now that is how unconditional love looks like in practice. He treated her like she was actually worth something. And because that's how the Father treats us. See, Jesus valued her. And when Jesus valued her, she began to feel differently about her life. She began to have hope. She didn't feel like an outcast anymore. She did not feel like she was a loser in life or a write-off. She felt like she was valued and somebody important. Isn't that amazing that when Jesus meets us at our points of need, that's the first thing he presents to us? That we are valuable before him, that we matter to him, and that he can do a lot with our lives if only we could surrender to him. Jesus told her he came for people like her. Imagine what that did to her. And I want to say to you this morning that Jesus is still looking for people like her today. Right to all the people listening, wherever you are, God is still looking for people like her. You could be that person today. You're on God's most wanted list, and God has business to do with you. Remember, his business is to transform our lives, and you could be a part of those people that Jesus wants to change and transform your life today. This takes us to the third point. It doesn't matter what you believe. Jesus values you. It doesn't matter what you believe. Jesus values you. I'm reading from verse 25 of the Gospel of John chapter 4. The Bible says, the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. Verse 26. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of town and were coming to him. When the conversation moved on to worship and what this woman believed, she was quick to offer an argument about places of worship so that she could dodge the issue of her lifestyle. But Jesus would not take the bait. Jesus' response showed that he valued her and offered her a new life. He was offering a way out of her precarious lifestyle. She was trapped in this lifestyle where she could not find a door. And here comes Jesus and offers her a way out. She says, I can give you a new life. I can give you the living water, a new way of worshiping centered on a relationship with God and not on a dead religion about a well that was dug by Jacob. Jesus was saying, there is something alive you can receive from me. Jesus was interested in winning a soul and not winning an argument. And in the world we live in today, it's arguments that we value. But when Jesus met this woman, in spite of her theological understanding about worship, in spite of her philosophical understanding about Jacob's well, Jesus' line was very clear. You need a savior. You need to worship a God that you worship, not just for the sake of worshiping, but the one that you engage with in truth and in spirit. And that is the God that you need for your life. For this God is seeking for worshipers of that kind. This is the discourse that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman. You know what? Jesus valued her no matter what her belief system was. She couldn't contain herself. When she encountered a man who loved her and accepted her for who she was, in spite of what she had done, and helped her confront her lifestyle, she left her jar, ran into the city, was on fire for Jesus. She forgot about everything and started telling people about this Messiah who told her everything she'd ever done in her life. She began to share the transforming message of the grace of God. She didn't care what people felt about her. She didn't care what they thought about her. She didn't even care whatever they had in their minds about her life, about her past. She just told them. Her thirst was quenched. Her future was secure. All she could think about was sharing the living water with others. She told the people, come all you who are thirsty. Come and drink this living water. He's here. He's here. He just changed my life. Everyone needed to hear what Jesus had to offer. She knew it. And the rest of the city, the rest of the village, came to know that too. She did all this because Jesus gave her that love and acceptance that no one else in Sychar, no one else in Samaria could offer her. And I believe even today, there is nowhere else you can receive, you can be offered the love and the acceptance that Jesus has. See, this woman had to overcome her innermost struggles. She had to overcome a lot of obstacles in her life and turn them into joy, which she wanted to spread to others. It made her bold and full of courage because she had faith in Jesus. Here is an important thing I want us to know about God. God's love cannot be broken by who you are. God's love cannot be undone by what you have done. God's love cannot be changed by where you have been. Although we can reject it, That doesn't stop God from extending his love to us. He values us no matter what we've done. He values us no matter where we are going, or no matter how far we're running away from him. God still values us. The Samaritan woman might have seemed the most unlikely person for God to use to bring revival in Samaria, because God often uses the most unlikely to do amazing things for his people. So Jesus cared for this one social outcast in a little village in Samaria. And through this woman, he managed to reach the people of the Samaritan city with the good news. And you know what? The Bible goes on to say, Jesus and his disciples stayed an extra 2 days in Samaria, even though Samaritans stayed away from the Jews, and the Jews avoided them. And here is Jesus staying with them for 2 days in that village. And the Bible says many came to know the Messiah. They gave their lives to God, to Jesus Christ, and their lives were never the same. They were accepted by him. Their sins were forgiven. And I want to just close by this today, that the Samaritan woman offered Jesus water to drink from the well. In return, Jesus offered her the living water, which is eternal life. Have you received this living water? Have you opened your heart to Jesus Christ this morning? You need to realize that Jesus doesn't care where you have been. He just wants you to respond to his love and accept him. He wants you to live a lifestyle that honors his name. Is there something this morning that could keep you from having a relationship with God? Is there anything about your lifestyle standing between you and Jesus Christ this morning? Is it your past that has trapped you in a world of rejection and low esteem, that you feel like you can't get out? You feel like you're locked in a room without a door. This morning, I've come to introduce to you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door to your life. He's the door to the living water we're talking about. God loves you, and he will come out of his way to save you. God went out of his way by sending his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. No matter what you have done, no matter how horribly you feel this morning, I want to say to you that God loves you. His grace is here for you. If God is willing to go out of his way, to go out of his way for you and for me, then you need to be willing to go out of your way to receive his grace, to receive his mercy. I hope you are ready to receive him into your life this morning. All you have to do is to open your heart and say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me for my sins. Take control of my life. I welcome you today. Would you come and change my life? If you are like that kind of a person today, you have never given your life to Christ, maybe like that woman, you feel trapped in your lifestyle. Maybe like that woman, you don't know how to get out of your lifestyle. This morning, I can assure you that Jesus is extending his grace. He's here to save you. He's here to deliver you. He's here to transform your life. You'll never ever be the same. And I want to pray with you. I want to lead you to Christ. If this is your first time of ever inviting Jesus into your life, I would like you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I open my heart to you today. I ask you to forgive me for all my sins. Would you take control of my life? Fill me with your spirit so that I may not continue to live a life that pleases me, but may I live a life that brings glory to your name. That's all I need today, Lord, to be loved, to be valued, and to be accepted. So I receive you. May you cleanse me. May you wash me clean by the blood of the Jesus Christ that he shed on the cross. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you pray that prayer with me today and you've given your life to Christ, We'd like to hear from you. Would you send us a message? You can text something on Facebook if you're on Facebook, or on our YouTube channel. You could send us an email. Justin is going to come in and give us some more details about that. We'd love to help you and encourage you to grow in your walk with Christ. Or maybe you're here today, like that Samaritan woman. You've been struggling to get out of a certain lifestyle where you feel bound, where you feel like you're locked into it. I pray for you today that you'll be delivered from that lifestyle. That Lord Jesus, I pray, would you break that cycle with my sister or my brother? That Lord, they keep going round and round in circles in a lifestyle that they seem unable to shake out of. But today, I speak the blood of Jesus into that situation. May those chains fall in the name of Jesus. May that yoke be broken over their lives, that they may be free to live a life that brings glory to your name. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And God's people say, Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for watching us. Thank you for tuning in. It's such a pleasure to minister to you. It's such a pleasure to know that Jesus is changing lives. God bless you. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.